You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Glenn Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm from Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 5th, episode 3032, brought to you today by State Line Tack. Good morning, horse people.
It's Wednesday morning. That means Jamie and Glenn are back to talk horses with all of you.
Well, let's be honest. Jamie talks horses. Glenn is just here to hassle Jamie. Enjoy the show.
That's right. We're back to normal today. No hurricanes, no buyouts. We're just talking horses and all things Jamie's crazy life today.
Oh, God.
We learned about the Seen Through Horses campaign from Lynn Thomas from Horses in Mental Health and Lynn Moore from Acres for Life. Plus, Jamie, did you get yelled at by Monty? We'll review that. If you listened into Monday's show, you'll know what we're talking about. And we also have some weird news. So a lot to do today. A couple things before we get to Daily Winnies. Number one is on tomorrow's show here on Horses in the Morning, the Sidelines episode, they interviewed Brandi Cyrus. And that's, of course, Billy Ray's daughter and Miley's sister. And she's big time into horses. And it was a fun, I actually listened to it this morning. It was a fun interview. I think you guys are going to like that. So tune in to tomorrow. She's pretty well grounded. I really liked her a lot. And she sounds just like Miley, but don't tell her I said that. All right.
Can't be bad. She's a world famous singer. Can't be bad to sound like her.
So the other thing, too, is we weren't the only ones getting sold. I didn't realize this till late in the day on Monday that the Chronicle of the Horse was sold. It was bought out by Global Equestrian Group, who are out of Denmark. They are also the ones that own and operate Wellington International, Showgrounds Live, Beerbaum Stables, Helgstrand Dressage, Gold Coast Feed, and a bunch of other companies. So they bought Chronicle last week. So lots of shakeup in the equine media world in the last week. Do you know that Koth is celebrating 85 years? They've been doing this for 85 years.
I believe it, man. I mean, that magazine is a staple in the horse world. You know, if you were in that show world, that was what you read.
When I married Jennifer, that's the only one she got was Chronicle of the Horse, because that was out of Pennsylvania, too. So she got Chronicle. And then, of course, they were the first one to start a forum, which you got to wonder if the new company's just going to shut that down. I doubt it.
But it gives them a lot of traffic, but man, there's some weird stuff. I read through that one time. I was like, I'm out.
I'm out. All right. Daily Winnie time. We have auditors. For new listeners, our auditors are our super fans. They donate a little bit of money every month, and they become part of our family in the Facebook group, and they get certain other privileges like the post show, which we'll do today after the regular show, and we also acknowledge their birthdays. So happy birthday to Elizabeth Fry and Joanne Cutchell. A happy birthday to both of you.
Man, I don't think you can, you know, talking about the auditors, the community that happens because of the auditor folk is just amazing. So I bought this horse in New Jersey. Yeah, I did. Sight unseen. Some great videos. He's exactly what I'm hoping to get. And so he's supposed to ship out last Saturday from the farm he's at. It's taken a while to get a shipper. There was a Keeneland sales going on and no shippers were available outside of there. And it was just crazy. So I finally get him shipped. And I've been waiting on a date for like, I don't know, 3 weeks. And they finally are like, we have got it. We're going to come get him Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And I was like, that's perfect. I called the woman who has him and I said, we got a date. They're coming at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. She was I'm going to be gentle. She was less than pleased about that. Apparently,
Doesn't work Saturday.
Not going to work for her schedule. And she let me know that I needed to make other arrangements after waiting for a month. And, you know, you don't control when they come. They're like, I mean, he got dropped off at 4 this morning. What am I going to be like? No, you can't drop him off right now because I'm sleeping. You know, so she had to.
They always drop him off middle of the night for some reason.
Always. Every time. But this lady was not not pleased that he was going to be picked up that day. And she let me know that she was not pleased about it. And she told me that I needed to make other arrangements. Well, this is New Jersey. Who do I know in New Jersey? Wait a second. I'm going to go on that auditor Facebook group and I'm going to ask anybody if they live in New Jersey and if anybody can help me. So I go on, and Hillary Bornham is the biggest saint among saints. Do you know what she arranged? She arranged, because I had to get the horse out of there because they were not going to be there to put him on the van. So I had to get somebody on Friday to pick up the, here's what was arranged. She's amazing. Hillary arranged that on Friday night, one of her eventing friends, these are all eventing community people. Okay. One of the eventers picked him up from the current farm that he was at, didn't take it back to her eventing barn because she was full, but then took it to another eventing barn far away. Hillary arranged all of this, and this is just like, it's the auditor community and the eventing community. I just wanted to give her my daily Winnie because I'm so grateful. She sent me pictures, and of course, then they couldn't come until Sunday. So then I have to wait a whole nother day. And yeah, it was just a big mess. But she stayed with him and like loved on him and sent me pictures all weekend. And I'm just so grateful. Hillary, thank you so much. It was just awesome.
Now, what
about
the picture you took of the horse this morning? What's this horse's name?
It's to be out. It's out because his name, his jockey club name is Uncle Gare. And then they named
that
him.
That rolls off the tongue.
Mm-hmm. And another one that rolls off the tongue is Pogue. This is what they showed him under. His name up there is Pogue Mahone. And I'm like, that doesn't really roll out. And it means in like Irish, it's like kiss my A, you know? And I'm like, yeah. I'm going to give him some, I don't
better.
I know. So I got to come up with something that's more me. And a lot of you don't believe in changing names. I do. I am a big fan of making something part of your family.
Those aren't great names, either one of them. So. Yeah.
Thank you.
Pogue. I mean, you could go with Pogue, right?
Yeah, but that's what they call him, is Pogue. Yeah.
I mean, that's easy to say, but
G-U-E is not my favorite letter. Like, you know, makes it sound.
People would spell it wrong. So the picture you posted this morning of the horse after he got to your barn, Pogue, or we'll call him for now, looked like he had this look on his face like, what the hell? And now I know why. He'd been moved around, made this long trip, and that was here going, what the hell happened?
And then apparently when he went to the second, the down the street farm in New Jersey, it poured down rain the entire weekend. So he spent
the storm.
Yeah, yes. They got the storm, and he's just like, what is going on? I can't even imagine. And then he unloads off the trailer, and he's like, it's 4 a.m, and he's so good. So I'm really excited. He's so pretty, you guys. Like, he's prettier than I even thought. So,
what make and model is he?
He's a 12-year-old thoroughbred gelding.
Gotcha. So he had been shown and competed in.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything. So he's been consistently ridden, but he has not been competed in 3 or 4 years. He has evented. He's done all the things. Okay. He's
and
done
he knows
show
left
jumps
and right and up and down. And
yes, he's like well trained. The reason that I was able to afford him was they were trying to find somebody for him so he's a really hot ride, very forward ride. He jumps like a monster, and he's a really great ride, except for his dressage sucks. So it's like his over fences requires a professional, and his flat work is not fancy enough for a professional. So that's what they were like, kind of stuck with. Like, they were trying to sell him. They kept getting like 12-year-old girls, and like, this is way too much horse for you. So not pretty and not fancy enough to be a professional's horse, but too hot for an amateur. And I'm like, I don't care about winning anything. I just want to do walk to canter transitions. Like, I just want to ride something for more than 10 minutes trying to get bucked off. So, yeah. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited. He's very pretty, and that's that.
All right. Well, speaking of getting bucked off, everybody's anxious to hear. I know the focus group.
Nice segue.
Yeah, the focus group was really excited to hear. So Monday we had the story. We'll give the Reader's Digest version of it now. But if you want to hear the whole story, go back and listen to the beginning of Monday's show. So you've got this horse that was trouble getting saddled. And then Farm Boy.
Why don't you let me tell
it? Yeah, then Farm Boy gets on and has a wild ride.
Yeah, so we did, it's a gypsy that nobody has been able to ride. He's 6 years old. He bucks everybody off. It goes crazy. And so he came to me. I'm his like last hope to learn to ride. So I have spent 3 weeks up. You couldn't even approach him with a saddle pad. And now we've done all these things. And oh, I mean, I'm like, I don't know what else to do to prepare you anymore for a rider. And so here you go, Barrett. Oh, damn, the rodeo began. That little monster bucked 5 times around the entire round pin. Not 5 jumps, 5 full round pin circles of bucking. And bless his heart, Farm Boy stuck it. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. Well, then it was like, okay, we're going to have a call. I sent everything to Monty and I was like, I don't know what to do with this horse. And yes, then it was a scheduled call with Monty. And do you want to know how that call went?
Yeah, that's everybody wants to know how the call went. You gave it 3 options. 1, he would just help you. 2, he would tell you to bail. Or 3, he would yell at you. Which one was it?
Yeah, he yelled at me. Jamie, you did not prepare that horse enough. Now, granted, he didn't sit there and watch the 3 weeks worth of video.
There's been a lot of preparation for this horse.
You didn't prepare that. That's not fair to the horse. What you did, you shouldn't have put that rider on that horse. That is a terrible idea. Like, I mean, terrible. However,
When he's yelling at you like that, you just suck it up and stay quiet.
God, you just got to take it. It's like having a drill sergeant yelling at you when you're enlisted, you know? Like, you just got to take it.
There's no defending yourself.
No, because he has no thought for your feelings because he only cares about the horse. Yeah. And that is what I love about him. You know what? Give it to me. Show me, tell me what I did. And so I was sent some uni videos and some homework. And one of the things that he uses is called the buck stopper, okay? And I didn't learn how to use this because he doesn't really want people to use it because it can be misused. But in this case, his thing is it's this buck stopper. It's a rope. It's like a halter that goes over their head, and then the rope goes under their lip. Like where you put a lip chain or something. And when the horse is moving around and everything, it doesn't come into play, but it's then tied to the saddle. So if they drop their head down and buck, it hits them in the gums. And he's like, you know, I've got a lot of critics about this. Number one, if anybody shows me a better way, I will use that way. Number two, the option of horses that buck, if it's discomfort under their gums or death, because they all end up on trucks to Mexico or getting put down because they're dangerous, he's like, I bet they would choose uncomfortable gums. So anyway, to this thing here, it's like you have to tie it and like string it out. You have to like make it. So I went to Home Depot and also I need a better dummy. Apparently my dummy rider is not good enough. He's too floppy.
Let's clarify. We're not talking about Farm Boy. We're talking
We're talking about Buck the Bear, my giant fluffy bear dummy rider. But he doesn't have a spine, so he's very floppy, and I need to have somebody up. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to Home Depot. I'm going to make a human, and I'm going to buy some rope, and I'm going to see if I can figure out how to tie this ridiculous string thing around and like attach it to this. I don't know how to do this. So Farm Boy comes over yesterday. I'm like, get up here. We're going to watch these videos together. I've already watched them. I want you to rewatch them. And then I'm going to show you in the book this rope thing and what I'm working on. And I am holding the rope as we're watching the video. Okay. I'm holding the rope and I'm like wringing it out and trying to like get this little loop thing. And I'm looking at the book and I'm like, how did he make that thing? Do you know what Farm Boy does? He hands me one he just made. I'm like, you what? You've been up here for 4 minutes watching this video and looking at the book and you made one. He just hands me one. How'd you do that? Are you a witch? Guess what Farm Boy is? He's an Eagle Scout.
Well, that'll do it.
And he spent the last 3 summers teaching children how to tie knots. Like belaying and rope climbing and all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a knot tier.
No. I mean, I can tie some, but like this was ridiculous. It was almost like just here you go. And so we got the buck stopper. We went out there. And I'm like, I'm supposed to have a call with Monty yesterday. So Monty's decision was, I've screwed up and he's got to sit with me and we're going to FaceTime from the round pen. God, I love this guy. We're going to FaceTime from the round pen. He's like, he goes, I can fix that horse. And I'm like, do you want me to send it to you? He goes, that would be great. The owner's like, that's really expensive.
Yeah.
So he's like, you don't need to send it to me. I'm going to help you through it. So we're going to meet at the round pen tomorrow and we're going to FaceTime this whole thing. Okay. Sounds good. Well, then I realized this was in the morning. I don't have a buck stopper. I need a better dummy. I need to get like fully prepared because if I'm not fully prepared and ready for this call, I'm going to get yelled at again. So I call and I postpone the FaceTime till today. So then I went and bought a dummy and I spent the entire day making a dummy and getting it ready. And it is this giant, I call him Nick. He's headless. Nearly headless Nick. So Nick is now my giant dummy. And I tried to put him on the horse yesterday and it was an epic fail because I did not make Nick. He's like 5.5 feet tall and he doesn't bend at the waist. So I couldn't get him over. It looked really cool though. I mean, it's a good Halloween decoration, but it's...
I was going to say, now's actually a good time to be buying dummies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, apparently I left him on the ground outside and Ginger had a heart attack this morning. Screamed at me. I'll send you that picture.
She was calling the police.
The show notes. Yeah. She's like, if he'd had boots on, I'd have lost it. And I was like, maybe somebody stole his boots. You don't know. She's like, I thought somebody got murdered.
That's funny. So we're waiting for, in other words, we'll continue this story. This story will be continued again on Friday.
Yes. I called Debbie. I was like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, I know he's busy. I don't have the right, because now I got to make another stupid dummy. I'm like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, I know it's taking up a lot of his time. And she's like, he's got time. Do it. I was like,
get him out of my hair.
Get him to do something else. So yeah, apparently, so we're gonna, Farm Boy and I are gonna meet with Monty apparently at the round pen sometime today, maybe, or tomorrow. So
we'll look forward to hearing about that on Friday's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you want to ask for help and it's awesome that I can ask for help and I will never take it for granted and I'll be sad when it's gone, but I just don't want to ask, you know, like, all right, what did I do wrong? You know, there's never like, the horse is the... No, it's you. It's always you. The horses can always be fixed. And so watching these videos, if you go on to Monty's University, there's a video, if you just search on for buck stopper, it's amazing. It's amazing what it does and how quickly it does. And the horses are like, again, they're alive because of it. Otherwise, people put horses that violently buck, not like the gypsy would, but violently buck people off, they're killers. So it was so interesting to watch this. You know, one horse that bucks every now and then, one horse that every time you sit on it. And these people on the video, they had been working for 3 years trying to get it to stop bucking. So it's a very effective thing. And I did put it on him yesterday and I couldn't get him to buck. So I'm like, oh, Farm Boy, you're going to get back on. I don't have a dummy. It's going to have to be you.
Yeah, make sure he's wearing his helmet.
Yes. He was like the only thing, the worst part about, because I got all these, I videoed when the horse went crazy bucking. I had my phone on the ground.
But I got to see it. It was wild.
I don't share things like that. He was going around in circles, 5 laps bucking, bronking, this 5 laps, right? And so there's some really cool, I had the phone out there. So there's some really cool like screenshots that I took of this video and I sent them to Barrett, and his response is, man, if only I was wearing a cowboy hat.
Speaking of cowboy hats, state law, you're giving me perfect transitions today.
Oh, you're welcome. You're just on it today.
Speaking of cowboy hats, State Line Tack right now has a Western sales and tax sale going on. They have 61 pages of Western stuff, and they have everything from saddle pads to saddles to parts that I don't even know what they are because I don't ride Western. But, I mean, there's 60-some pages of this. First of all, I didn't know there I didn't know there were this many things, parts in a Western tack, but there is. There's tons of it.
I mean, think about it. It's so much bigger. There's so much more stuff, I think, than in English, because you've got, you know, if you've got six major English sports, you've got 12 major Western sports.
That's true. And there's 85,000 different varieties of spurs. That's the other thing. Plus saddles. Their saddles are so much prettier than ours. They really are. But yeah, you can find, as I said, 61 pages going on right now. Head on over to statelinetack.com and check out the Western sale that's happening right now. I just came across the Stacy Westfall breast collar. I wonder if she has her own complete line of stuff.
Why wouldn't she?
Stacy has everything. So statelinetack.com today. The Horse Health segment is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. Today, we're going to be talking about a campaign that's called Seen Through Horses. And we have two Lynns on the show today to talk about that. Lynn Thomas from Horses and Mental Health and Lynn Moore, and she is from Acres for Life. So I'm going to start with you, Lynn Thomas. What is the Seen Through Horses campaign?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on, and we're really excited. So we started a nonprofit organization called Horses for Mental Health with the main objective to advocate for and bring and really spread the reach of awareness of how powerful horses can be for mental health and start advocating for these kinds of services. Ultimately, it's our vision that every person around the world, when they have mental health struggles or personal growth needs, that they will think of, I ought to find a program involving horses. Because we've just seen how powerful it is that horses are brought into mental health sessions. And so that's what we're about. And the Seen Through Horses campaign is a organized, a collaborative approach. We're working with partners, and we're excited to be sponsored by our title sponsor, Zoetis Equine. And we're very grateful for them for making this possible. It involves sharing stories of awareness. We are working with 50 charity partners and a peer-to-peer fundraising component as well, so that their programs who are providing these direct services can continue to expand and make it more accessible for more people.
So you're going out to already established, what you're calling your charity partners, you're going out to already established organizations that help in this in the mental health area anyway, but now you're exposing them to a new way to do it? Is that the goal?
Yeah, well, ultimately, we're exposing more people in the public to be aware that these kinds of services exist. So we're hoping to, bring more funding as well to these programs so they can provide these services, as well as just make it more available and more awareness.
Gotcha. And I think that from what we've seen from when we started the show 12 years ago, these kinds of programs and the kind of program, Jamie, you work with Monty on a couple of different programs there, these types of programs are becoming more common and more programs are starting up around the country. Have you seen that as well?
Absolutely. It's definitely growing. There's an expansion of not only the programs, but of more people needing the services and looking for the services. And actually, a lot of these programs have pretty long waiting lists because there is such a need and because this is such a powerful approach. I think sometimes going in and to a traditional therapy, a therapist in an office doesn't fit for everyone. And it sometimes doesn't always work for people as well. So something different, something that is a little more hands-on and involves the power of horses. And I think those of us who've been around horses know how much they can heal and the impact they can have on our lives. So we're just hoping to spread that benefit for people.
Is there, before we get to the other Lynn, I wanted to ask you, is there certain categories within the mental health field that it works better for? people that have had certain types of trauma, or is it just overall?
Yeah, we have our the programs out there are working with all ages and all types of issues. I mean, you mentioned trauma. I think that it's especially effective with trauma because a lot of healing trauma is held in our bodies, as they talk about. And so healing something through our body, something experiential, and especially in relationship with a non-judgmental being like a horse is especially impactful. But we work with all sorts of different needs, depression, anxiety, which is really out of a lot of that going on right now, grief, addictions, just behavioral issues, family relationship problems, anything like that, as well as personal growth, people working with corporate groups or leadership programs, anything like that, anything that has to do with personal growth and mental health programs are working with that with horses.
Gotcha. All right. Why don't you introduce the other Lynn?
Yeah, I'm excited to introduce Lynn Moore. Lynn Moore is one of our charity partners, the founder and CEO of one of our charity partners, Acres for Life. They're an incredible program out in Minnesota. And a lot of what we're doing is sharing some of the impact of stories of how this can impact people. So I invited Lynn to come on and share some of that. So Lynn, if you want to introduce yourself. And
great. I'd love to. Thank you, Lynn Thomas and Jamie and Glenn. I'm excited to be here in beautiful Minnesota, talking to you guys here at Acres for Life. So we've been doing this about 21 years. And I think you mentioned earlier how the awareness is really growing. 21 years ago when we started incorporating horses into mental health services and personal development, it really wasn't that much awareness. And now there is growing awareness for that. And this campaign is helping so much, the Seen Through Story campaign or Seen Through Horses campaign. Appreciate that so much. One of the things I was going to mention is the story that's coming to mind, if it's okay to share.
Sure.
About an adolescent who came out to us struggling with making the best choices that he could in his life. He was struggling with addiction, and he was getting into trouble. He was in the juvenile system here and had been in residential treatment a few times, tried outpatient treatment, a number of things. And he was referred to us by a residential treatment program and came out for a number of sessions, I think about 8 or 9 sessions. And on the third session when he was out, the first couple, he was very quiet, kind of reserved, kind of, you know, looking down, kicking in the dirt, not kind of giving us the idea that he didn't really want to be here. And, however, the horses kept kind of pulling him back into being present. You know, they would come up, they would just be in the space. We work in a large pasture area. And so they would come up and they would hang out around him, but not really interact with him too much. Similar, kind of mirroring how he was not interacting with us, which was kind of interesting. But the third session, we walked out to the pasture space, about 3 acres that we work in, and the larger herd was set up in 2 kind of smaller herds next to each other. And they were just grazing and hanging out there. And he was like, I'm just going to go out and be by them. And we're like, okay, that sounds good. Set up a little different out there. They were in a 3-acre pasture. 2 smaller herds had formed in the larger herd, kind of side by side. And this client just kind of under his breath said, I'm going to go out and spend some time with them today and not you guys. And so we were like, okay. So he walked out, and what we noticed is as he approached the horses, he kind of slowed down and he would start to go like he was going to enter the one smaller herd to the left. And he would get just a couple feet from actually kind of joining in with the herd. And then he would back up. And then he'd walk a few steps backward and turn, and he'd walk towards the smaller herd on the right, stopping about 2 feet before joining that herd. And he did this pattern kind of back and forth, the horses just grazing, just kind of doing their thing. And this went on for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. He was kind of standing in the middle of these two herds, not entering either one, but kind of caught in the middle, it appeared. And as we're watching, you know, we just believe in the power of horses and how they're able to tell the untold story. As we're observing and watching, this kind of broken down, shaggy foundation mount, Rocky Mountain horse, Magic was his name, stepped out of the herd he was in and started walking very slowly around the outside of the horse herd on the right, and came up behind this young gentleman and put his head in the back, lower back of this young man. The horse Magic did that. And he gave him a lift and a kind of a shove, right, that lifted him and placed him into this herd of horses on the right. And it was like, what in the world is going on? And this kid was like, I don't want to be in here. This is not the one I want to be in. And he started, you know, like just yelling at the horses. And Magic continued to put just a tiny bit of pressure on his back, just his head resting on his back, and continued to kind of hold him in that space. Now, we didn't get to know the what those things meant at the end of that session. But a few sessions later, the young man shared with us that he saw those two smaller herds of horses. The one on the left was his using friends, and the one on the right was recovery and moving into a healthier lifestyle. And he was struggling in his life. He was actually struggling with being kind of, where do I want to be? I have this pull to be with my using friends, but I really also need, in order to stay alive, to move into recovery and healthy lifestyle. So it helped us down the road to talk about that and to get that out of what he was keeping inside and hadn't shared with anybody. So that's the horses.
That's the magic of the horses, man. They're healing. Yeah. We all certainly know that and have seen, I've seen examples of it as well. I mean, we all have. I mean, that's why we have horses, because they make us feel better. So it's a beautiful story and exactly true. And it may take you a little while to get to the reasons, but, you know, that's awesome.
Thanks, Jamie.
I was going to ask, you answered the question. I was going to ask how long it takes with an individual. Is it usually several sessions before the light bulb comes on, so to speak, or is some quicker than others, or is it completely individual?
I would say in our experience, it depends on the person, right? It just, it is individual. It's where they are when they show up with the process. But it does move very quickly, and the insights seem to come, and a really safe environment, emotionally safe environment, for people to have a different sort of relationship with the thing that's been keeping them maybe stuck in their life.
So, Lynn Thomas, how can listeners help? This campaign started this week. It started on the 3rd. How can they help? What can they do to help out the campaign?
Yeah, I really appreciate that, because this is going to be such a benefit for both horses and humans. And they can go to horsesformentalhealth.org/campaign. And it says right there and instructions and stuff like that. But you can choose one of the 50 charity partners to support and just go on there and either donate directly, or you can even choose to become part of their fundraising team. And also feel free to check out our social media, Horses for Mental Health social media. There's a lot of videos we're posting, of stories. We're really excited to also have involved several influencers and celebrities that are involved, such as Eric Roberts and Randy Travis and Michaela Lane and Temple Grandin and JC Dugard. And there's a whole bunch listed on our stories page as well, Riley Smith. So check that page out as well for some wonderful video stories, as well, to kind of enhance and get excited about this work. And we're also, I just want to emphasize too, that this has been a wonderful experience. Of the industry of including Horses for Mental Health has really come together to make this happen. And we have several partners that are involved in this, leaders of the industry, and wanted to just do a shout out and acknowledge to them, including the Equine Network, PATH International,
American Horse Council, the Horses and Humans Research Foundation, the Natural Life Institute, the Polyvagal Equine Institute, the Temple Grandin Equine Center, the Herd Institute, and Arenas for Change, as well as, again, thank our sponsor, Zoetis Equine. So it's really been a neat experience of the industry coming together to lift everyone up and really get the word out there to benefit both horses and humans.
Well, both Lynns, thank you for joining us today. We'll put the link in our show notes. You can just scroll right there on your podcast player and connect right to it. And of course, I will add here too, and Lynn Moore will back me up on this, that these organizations are always looking for volunteers to help. If you have some horse experience and you have some time to volunteer, maybe you don't have a horse right now, but you'd like to be around horses. As I said, these organizations are always looking for volunteers. So contact them directly about that. But we'll put the link, horsesformentalhealth.org/campaign in the show notes. Thank you, ladies.
Well, I'm with Janet Geyer today, the mad scientist behind Daily Dose Equine Horse Feeds, which is the horse feed that Scooter eats, by the way. He loves the Carb Buster. And I wanted to mention to everybody that if you worry about what your horse is eating because of where it was made, you always hear these terrible headlines that pop out that a horse gets sick or somebody has a test come through in a bad way because the manufacturing plant where the horse feed was made also makes medicated feeds for either horses or other species. So I wanted to ask Janet about the manufacturing plant where Daily Dose Equine feeds are made. Are they all made in the same plant?
They are, and it is on a dedicated line where no medicated feeds are made. And this line is really interesting because it's the only manufacturing plant in the U.S. that has been non-GMO verified. So it is not only a dedicated line, but it is also a non-GMO verified line, which is very important to me and should be to you.
Well, check them out today, dailydoseequine.com. You can get your Daily Dose Equine horse feeds nationally through Chewy.com, or if you're in the Maryland area, you can get them delivered. So check them out, dailydoseequine.com.
Well, I did want to mention that we need some ads for really bad ads on Friday. So if you've been lazy this week and haven't been doing it, or you haven't been doing it because we didn't announce the prizes, we're announcing new prizes on Friday. So you'll hear about the new prizes. All your entries will count toward the prizes. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Either
record. Not Jamie on Facebook.
That's
not Jamie on email. No. It's Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
And by the way, if you post them in the auditor room, that's great for conversation, but they won't be included.
They only get counted and included because Jen's the one that does all that detail work. So,
yeah, so she's the one that keeps the spreadsheet up. You won't be on the spreadsheet unless you send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. If you want to record it yourself, just go to our website on your phone, open a browser, and go to Horses in the Morning, click on the voicemail tab, and just record it. It comes magically to us when you're done. So that's the clearest, the best way to do it. The sound's usually pretty good that way. So thank you for participating and getting those over to us. We really do appreciate it. But now, you know, we've had a couple of weeks off with this, and it's time to get back to it.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
You know, if you're reading whatever news story, the news outlet you get your stories from, and you read one and you're like, okay, that's super weird. That's what I want. I want you to email it to Jamie at horseradionetwork.com. I'm going to complain. You guys have been slacking. I mean, if it wasn't for Lorene and Ina and Charlotte, nothing would get done around here. Okay, people, get it together.
I didn't even send you any.
I got nothing from you. So if you see a weird news story, send it to me, Jamie at horseradionetwork.com with weird news in the subject line. That's how I can find them. So the first one we're going to start, we're going to head over to London.
Not Florida? Yay!
No. You know, I don't even know if we go to Florida today.
Well,
watch out.
Half the state was washed out
and
with a hurricane.
I think that's the problem is nothing happened in Florida in the past week because other than a hurricane. So that's why the crazy criminals have had to be batten down the hatches, or they probably
like, hard to rob a bank when it's underwater. So
yeah, exactly. So we're going to go to London, and His name is Jeremy Mylard of Harrogate, North Yorkshire. He's a marathoner, but he decided he wanted to run in the London Marathon and try to break a world record.
Oh, no.
What world record did he try to break, Glenn?
He was holding an egg on a spoon.
Speed? No.
No.
Egg on a spoon? No. He decided to be the fastest marathoner ever dressed as a mythical male creature. No, a mythical creature identifying his gender as a male, unlike a mythical female gendered creature. I don't know. Anyway, this dude dressed up as a freaking unicorn. Okay. And dressed up as a unicorn, he's wearing white.
I was picturing Pegasus, but you know.
Exactly. Do you know those like terrible like plastic unicorn masks
yes.
that have the horse
yes.
mask with the blue eyes and they're white and they have the horn? He wore that the entire
Did
marathon.
He wear the rest of the outfit, the big white fluffy outfit?
So what he's got on actually is like, think of a white spandex bodysuit, okay? And he's got like the really ornate rainbow leg warmers on and also matching hand warmers. And he's got some sort of like unicorn tail made out of unicorn, like rainbow taffeta. I mean, he is bringing it strong, but he does have sensible shoes on. So that's the best part. Yeah. He ran a marathon dressed as a unicorn in 3 hours and 26 minutes and 38 seconds. And he got an award.
Oh my God, that's fast. I mean, it's hard to breathe without a mask on when you're running a marathon.
You think nobody else has done that. Oh, sure there was. The previous record was set by Australian runner Alistair Kelty, who donned a Bigfoot costume and ran the Waterford Marathon in Ireland in 3 hours and 44 minutes.
That'd be hot. So, I hope it's cooler on a Bigfoot day.
God. You know what? If we were all the same, the world would be very boring.
Okay, how fit are you that running a marathon is not enough? You need to add some complexity.
I need to make it harder.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to restrict my breathing. How can I do that?
How fit are you?
All right. Well, you know, this is a weird story because there's a really great film. This comes from KansasCity.com, news outlet, because there's a... Is this like two people have too much time in their hand? I don't know. There's a zoo, the Scoville Zoo in Decatur, Illinois, and they have a 39-year-old alligator named G. And G is 300 pounds and 12 feet long. And apparently G hasn't really shown a propensity for like swimming really well and really doesn't like to submerge himself in more than a few feet of water. So his quote, dedicated keepers have been looking for ways to enrich his life and provide more experiences for him. So guess what they did? They loaded him up in a truck and took him to Splash Cove Water Park at the end of the summer and put him in the lazy river. And the video is phenomenal. It is a giant alligator. Like, it's the stuff nightmares are made out of, you know? It's like, there's a drone footage of this 12-foot alligator, like, making his way through the lazy river, and I will never swim in a lazy river again.
You he can has find mental health me. Issues. He needs to go to Acres for Life.
I know, right? They said he loved freshening up on his swimming skills, floating in the river current, and letting us know he enjoyed his trip to the lazy river by refusing to leave. Apparently, they kind of like wrangle him out of there. They said we're pretty sure he had a big alligator smile and loved his vacation day. Good for you, Scoville Zoo. Glad the alligators are happy.
That's a new field trip for you right there. Hey, could you be a chaperone on the field trip this weekend?
Yeah, kitty, 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 kitty. All right, we're going to head over to California, the other place where weird stuff happens. We've got Florida, Texas, and California. And Florida's number one, and California and Texas are fighting for number two. But this is not a human story. I like to mainly focus on the animal stories, and there is a fantastic video of this. Do you know what happens like when a dog gets in trouble? It like hides its face.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, don't look at me, don't look at me. Okay, so an animal services officer in California had to respond to a middle school to remove an intruder. Riverside County Animal Service did post the YouTube video where they got a call. And I just tried to think of like, There's always like the story, but there's always a behind the story. Okay. Here's what happened. Animal control had to go and remove a coyote out of the boys' bathroom. That's cool.
How do you end up in the bathroom?
I don't know, but he's hiding. I was like, that go to that shame face. He's hiding behind one of the toilets. Like,
have you ever been in a boys' bathroom? You'd have a shame face too.
It's like, why does it smell so bad in here? Why can't y'all pee in the toilet and not on the floor? So the coyote was found.
You
but
sound
see,
like you have a couple boys in the house.
It's weird. Yeah. I don't get it. Why can't you aim? Anyway, everybody was fine. Everything, nobody was hurt, and the animal was removed and is back to his more natural habitat. But here's where it's weird. Like, to me, I don't want to know that you successfully went in and you got the coyote and you relocated. I want to know who the hell found it. Like, did some like fifth grader walk into the bathroom and like walk into the stall and there's like a freaking coyote? Like, that's the guy I want to hear from. I want to hear from that guy. Who found it in the boys' bathroom? Did they chase it into there? How did it get there? Did it come in from the ceiling tiles? Like, that, I just, these are ones that give me more questions than answers.
Isn't there supposed to be security at schools now?
How did a coyote get into a middle school and then end up in the bathroom? Like, a poor kid who, like, drops trowel, sits down, and, like, feels something fuzzy on his leg. That's what I want to know. All right. I saved the best for last. So. Right. I hope y'all are getting breakfast. Okay. I'm uncomfortable telling the story, but you know, it's news and we all have to be aware that this kind of thing can happen. All right. So we are going to go to, I believe, England. Her name is Amanda Gomo and she is 51 years old and she has a pet chihuahua and she was taking a nap on the couch. She's taking a nap on the couch. And maybe, you know, snoring a little bit. And her chihuahua was sleeping with her up on her chest. And at one point, the chihuahua had what they are calling, in quotes, violent diarrhea. Now, let me give you the picture again. Miss Gomo is sleeping on the couch with her mouth open. Dog has violent diarrhea. Where does the violent diarrhea go, Glenn? Right into her mouth.
Oh, that's sleeping that way on the chest.
Miss Gomo, following the incident, ran to the bathroom to be sick. And she said she violently threw up.
No
she
kidding.
Said, it's like she's puking. And she said, I was hurling violently for hours. I just couldn't get the taste out of my mouth.
No kidding.
Well, at that time, they take Belle, the dog, to the vet because obviously she has a nasty stomach bug. Later that day, Ms. Gomo started showing similar symptoms to that of Belle.
Oh, she had to go to the hospital.
She had to go to the hospital. What's wrong? My dog pooped in my mouth. What? So apparently,
God, they've been
she's
talking
having,
about her for days over there at that hospital.
She was hospitalized for 3 days.
Oh my God,
they had to flush. They had to flush out the infection. She was like violently ill. Oh my God! She's of course she's British. She's like, we have plenty of tea. Yeah, she's gonna be okay. She does say. I'd forgiven Belle for her little accident, and I still love her with all my heart. But I will definitely be more mindful of what position we sleep in the future.
This is exactly yeah. why dogs weren't allowed on our bed.
I mean, Belle, can't you, like, scratch at the door to go outside? No, she just came out.
That's all I'm going to think about all day now. Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Anybody want a chocolate smoothie?
We apologize to everybody eating lunch right now.
That's right. It's a weight loss plan. All you have to do is listen to Weird News and you won't eat for 2 days.
On that note, hold on, auditors.